committee, which is the executive committee, all members being present. We do not have any action items, but we do have four information items. We'll charge into those, starting with our master plan. Just a little bit of warning to my fellow regents. On some of the items, I think it probably is appropriate this morning to give our newest members a little bit of background of how we got to where we are and why we're talking about the topic today. So bear with me, and most importantly, share with us your comments as we proceed through these information items this morning. So with that being said, I know we're going to talk about the campus master plan. And Brian Russell, I will look to you to lead that discussion.
Thank you all, and very good morning. It's a bright, sunny day here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we're glad to present something, the WKU master plan. First, I got to say thank you to everybody that contributed to this new master plan. It's a visionary document, was started and supported by our WKU community. We had a lot of input. We worked with people that were in Bowling Green and Warren County that also contributed to the research and information. I got to say thank you to the steering committee that Dr. Caboni led, and myself, and the Provost Stevens, Susan Howarth, and also Andrea Hales. Without their support, we couldn't have gotten through this, especially through COVID-19 and some unusual circumstances that really made us go virtual for the last half of this investigation. The Master Planning Committee that meets monthly on campus, and also community leadership, they were invaluable to our planning process. Special thank you to Planning, Design, and Construction as well. Josh Montgomery provided a lot of outstanding photography, aerial photography for us, and also Doris Hayes, who supported the efforts that it takes for a lot of the coordination and effort. I want to now take the time to say thank you to our professionals, Gensler Architects. Jeanette Scott's with us today, is going to actually do the presentation. Dave Bros, Steve Wilson, Megan, Nick, couldn't have done it without you, and I really enjoyed the process and the journey. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Jeanette Scott, and if she can have the screen.
Perfect. Well, let me go ahead and just introduce. So I'm Dave Bros, principal at Gensler, and proud to kick off the WKU master plan. As Brian suggested, we started this journey almost 2 years ago in a world that was much different than we find ourselves in today. And we transitioned to an online environment, and the WKU really stepped in to make sure that we had the information needed, provided regular feedback, and thank you to Brian for his leadership of the team and the people that he already gave credit to. We'd also like to thank the hundreds of members of your community who took the time to stop and answer our questions, react to our ideas, and provide guidance. We can tell you that we really see that your community loves their campus. And they provided many amazing ideas of where the campus should go, many of which will influence what you see today. On your campus, our team is excited to be moving towards the completion of the WKU Commons at Helm. It's an amazing beacon of who WKU is and where WKU is heading. I also commend you that completing a plan in such a time of transition gives you an advantage to come out of this with a clear roadmap for your future that'll put you ahead of your institutional peers. So as Brian suggested, we have our team on the call today. You can wave your hand, and I'd like to introduce the two team members that will lead you through the summary of our findings of your campus master plan, both Jeanette Scott and Steve Wilson.
Thanks, Dave. Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for having us with you this morning. When we last presented to you in April of last year, we had just concluded the first phase of the master plan project, and that culminated with the definition of our guiding principles. We described on that occasion in detail the campus engagement, the research, and the site analysis that we had completed. And the guiding principles guide the qualitative aspects of the design of the campus master plan are integral in responding to the big question of how we reimagine the campus experience to increase student enrollment, boost student retention, and promote student success, objectives as defined in the strategic plan. So to start, first, we must reimagine thresholds to reveal hidden experiences. We must accelerate community building on campus, as we know that in-person experience is so vitally important to student success. We must focus student success towards tangible outcomes. We must exhibit a culture of holistic thinking, and we must unite teams around our common purposes. Following that, as we explored design strategies to embody those guiding principles, we identified a number of priorities, planning priorities specifically. First, we want to reinforce and celebrate the strengths of campus today, because we know, as we've seen this morning, there are already tremendously impactful projects underway on this campus, such as the First Year Village, the WKU Commons at Helm, and following that, the demolition of Garrett Conference Center and the Hilltop Planning Study. Next, we want to accelerate campus community through those open spaces, because university campuses are defined by their open spaces, and this master plan proposes utilizing the landscape to amplify that sense of place and community. And then finally, the third priority is to manage program growth through optimized space. We want to be very careful in how we consider the removal of existing facilities that are no longer fit for purpose or at the end of their usable life, and make sure that there is a very clear need before the addition of buildings, parking, or other resources are identified. Okay, I'll hand it over to Steve.
Let's start with a snapshot of the campus today. If we go back one slide.
I'm sorry.
So this is So we're going to start with a snapshot of the campus today. What you'll notice in this map is that we've updated it to include the First Year Village, which is really still in construction. But it does give us a place that shows where we're starting from. And what I want to mention about this campus has been building and improving for decades, right? So this campus master plan is an extension of that tradition. And we're looking now to the next 10 years to see what are the most important investments that we can make in the campus environment to improve that condition. So what you'll note here in this map that kind of gives an overview of those 10-year improvements are both building improvements and landscape improvements. The landscape improvements are outlined in red, and the building improvements, whether they're new or existing renovations, are highlighted, are the buildings that are highlighted in the solid red. And so I'll just take you through a few of these highlights in the next few slides. First, we want to point out investing in learning infrastructure upgrades. So we did an analysis of all the learning hours that are done in the different buildings, in the different academic buildings, and we also did an analysis of building condition. And what we discovered is some of the most intensely used buildings are the ones in most pressing need for building renovation. And we've identified five here: Cherry Hall, Environmental Science and Tech, Fine Arts, Grice, and the Academic Complex. And you'll notice that these give a nice distribution across the core academic campus so that we can improve the quality of these buildings as a very first step. So on the next slide, you'll see this has already been mentioned, and we had a nice tour of this virtually just a moment ago. But First Year Village will be a transformational project. But in addition to the building and, of course, the experience that this will enhance for students, I also want to point out the opportunity to completely transform the Southern Campus landscape. So in the lower right-hand corner, you can see it, of course, it's currently more targeted towards a commuter or a resident parking lot. It will in the future become this amazing quad that anchors the southern part of the campus and creates this beautiful gateway. the Commons at Helm. This is a project that Gensler's been working on with WKU for over, I think, a year and a half now, and it's nearing completion. This will be an amazing transformation right in the heart of the hilltop to bring more student life and academic support and food service offerings to that academic setting. Now, we've talked about some new buildings. I also want to point out that the building removal, and much of this was identified even as we were beginning the master plan for Garrett, College Heights Foundation, Tate Page. These are as important as creating new buildings in terms of improving both the quality of the campus and the efficiency of the campus, and importantly, creating open sites in a mature campus for new development. And you'll see that in a moment. For instance, Tate Page, by removing this building, it's really past its useful life. It creates an opportunity for a new site for a business school that would be prominently sited on the south line right across from the stadium. So you can imagine alumni enjoying the game, and there's a sort of a synergy and a connection with the business school and a symbolic connection with bringing life and energy to that south lawn area. And we have another view of that on the next slide. So here you can see the south lawn with the, you know, in addition to the business school, which you can see in the upper right-hand corner, it also gives us an opportunity to enhance the south lawn by removing some of that additional parking that is along Avenue of Champions at the moment, and really create a beautiful setting in the heart of the campus. Now, the landscape improvements also extend to the hilltop. Hilltop planning study was completed just before we began the master plan, and we've incorporated those recommendations to basically rationalize the existing traffic circulation, minimize parking to only what's essential on the hilltop, and with the removal of Garrett, we get this beautiful overlook. So each move in this campus master plan is about improving quality facilities, quality landscape, and steadily improving the quality of the campus. Another improvement that came, recommendation that came from the master plan was the idea of transforming State Street. Now, we know State Street is, it has become a big barrier between the connection of the science campus to the hilltop. And what we are proposing in this study, and this study, by the way, is continuing, is rerouting traffic around the State Street, where State Street intersects those, the science campus and hilltop, so that instead it runs around, Chestnut. What this allows us to do is to create a campus plaza on State Street that becomes like a transit mall. So we'll have very limited traffic and be much more inviting to cross. So here's an illustration of what that can look. You can see the integration of bike lanes, special pavers, and streetscape amenities that really make this feel like one campus instead of a divided campus. Similar improvement is proposed for the Avenue of Champions at the south part of the campus. And here, this would be a great complement to the South Lawn improvements, creating a gateway at University Avenue and a bikeway that creates this great green link that goes all the way to the downtown. So if we go to the next slide, we can see a visualization of how that can be transformed. Again, it's not a big move, but by creating some enhanced streetscape and really removing some of the angled parking, we can create a much more gracious and inviting gateway to the south. Now, this is just in summary, let's look at what we've just reviewed. We've reviewed a number of landscape improvements. We've reviewed building infrastructure upgrades, learning upgrades, and new projects. And what this accomplishes is really a transformation and improvement of almost every portion of the campus, all the way from the science campus down to the South Campus. And we think that this really will create a much more enhanced, inviting, and richer student, faculty, staff experience. But any campus master plan needs to look kind of beyond the 10-year horizon. And the reason I say this is because there's we need a roadmap for that can account for opportunities that emerge or funding opportunities that allow projects to happen sooner. So we've identified a few projects that we're calling beyond 2031. But in fact, these projects may happen sooner depending on funding opportunities. So let's look at these for your consideration. First is, let's beyond the first year village, how might we continue to improve the housing program, taking offline obsolete housing and bringing online new housing and landscape improvements? And this illustration you can see here is reading left to right is a great illustration how we can take Douglas Keene Hall could be removed or renovated and expanded with a new gateway building, and that really helps to accentuate the Avenue of Champion improvements and that gateway. Minton Hall could be removed and create the space for a new quad. So that the image you see in the lower right is, imagine that Minton that's currently fills up the space of the quad right behind the student union. Imagine that removed, and now you have this nice network of quads that link all the way from South Lawn up to the hilltop. This would be part of that chain of green spaces. And so again, it is about finding opportunities for new housing sites, but also creating opportunities to remove obsolete and constantly improve the quality of the student offerings. And I think we have a next slide. And on that note, you know, building removal is really critical. We just talked about Minton. Another building that could be removed in the further future would potentially be Jones Jagger. If Jones Jagger, Potter Hall, Grice, Industrial Education Buildings are all buildings that we've identified as buildings that in 10 to 15 years may begin to be beyond their useful life and offer opportunities for other redevelopment opportunities. And these redevelopment opportunities are identified in blue. I also want to, so I'll mention the normal street sites. These include like the Student Publication Center, the Confucius Institute, buildings that are kind of out of scale with the potential of that really important academic corridor along Normal Street. Also, IEB is another site that coupled with a parking lot could be a great building site that we looked at. And Potter and Grice are both buildings that are really nearing the end of their useful life, and so they could be considered for replacement in the further future. And finally, number six is our that site with Jones Jaggers is a potential site for expanded parking that could relieve some of the, help us remove some of the parking from the core campus that doesn't need to be there. Okay, next slide. And one-stop services is also something that can take advantage of those building removal sites. We looked at one that was on the Grice site, another one that sits right in front of the existing campus boiler site. So these are two alternative sites. The idea is to create a place where students can go with one stop to get their financial assistance, registration, TRIO programs, counseling, career development, all those kind of functions that are now distributed between two and three and four locations, they could go to one stop and get what they need. And this is a trend that's happening with other universities. And so on the longer term future, we put this for your consideration. Next slide. And finally, the new athletic practice facility. This is a project that's already been designed and worked out. We've identified it on the longer term horizon, and you can see it would be a great addition to the Avenue of Champions and very much in the theme of the master plan. And as I mentioned, this is on the longer term horizon. However, if funding became available, this could become moved up. The whole plan is designed to be flexible to respond to opportunities. And finally, to wrap up, I can show you the last slide. gives an overview of these longer-term opportunities that build on our 10-year plan. And you can see, again, this theme of creating distributed opportunities to reinforce each of the parts of the campus and create a stronger student experience, both in facilities and landscape. And with that, we'd love to turn to any questions.
If I could jump in and frame this just before the questions, one of the things that we were, as we entered this process, was so important. And I want to thank Gensler for your good partnership. I want to thank the entire campus community. We wanted this, again, to be a bottom-up, representative, shared vision for where we were headed physically. But more important than that, how does the physical manifestation of campus support the strategic plan? And those things are inextricably linked in both through the process and the final document. And so one of the things I'm most proud about is that people get excited when you talk about the new stuff. But what's most important is we lead here with existing spaces that we must take care of and maintain for the long haul. The removal and having the discipline to remove buildings that are not just beyond their useful life, some of whom have been mothballed that have been sitting. We've got to get those gone. And the last is the totality of this plan is focused on not just new and shiny, but really how does it support student engagement, student retention, student graduation. And I'm really pleased with where we are. And on the renovation side, we're working closely with our peers across the state and the state legislature on an enhancement fund that would allow us to begin that work essentially instantaneously on renovating some of those current structures.
It's an excellent report. When I first dived into the report, I was intimidated by how could you possibly improve or change or enhance what we already have. And this report does that. It's amazing. It, I think it still incorporates our WKU experience and spirit. What a wonderful job. Very impressive.
It occurs to me, listening to this presentation, some of you may be aware that we have a new committee on campus for naming and symbols. I'm part of that committee, and I'd like for this presentation to be given to that committee sometime in the near future as well. I think there's a lot of information in here that would be useful to all the members of that committee.
We'll do that, sir.
Any other regents have questions or comments?
I found the data in the report to be quite extensive and overlapping with what my own experience is as someone who spends an awful lot of time in one of those buildings that you designate as nearing the end of its useful life. And that is what I was impressed with was the utilization of our classrooms on campus. And I know that was something that was focused on by administration a few years back to make sure that we were using the spaces that we had. But what I saw was that we are using those spaces and we're reaching the end of being able to do anything more with those spaces. So reflecting as campus leadership on how do we, you know, student engagement and student retention also is giving them a good experience. And that's not happening in some of these buildings, and that's where our students are actually congregating as well. That's where the bulk of our classroom experience is. So we have a challenge there, I think.
I'll just comment. First of all, great presentation, very impressive plan. Only major disappointment I had was it was not available in 1983. Beyond that, I would like to challenge Dr. Caboni and the team to hurry up and raise money so we can see this sooner to come to reality.
Good.
What are the priorities when we look at all these changes? Which projects are our top priorities?
Jason, I think the six-year capital plan that we have just kicked off again, that's required by the state, still identifies the business college as the number one state request for the priority for Western Kentucky University. The other priorities that we're working on currently on campus is Tapage Hall is being raised concurrently. We're working on that so that we complete the first year village landscape project along with the buildings, that's all done at the same time. And so that building will start to be taken down here in the next month or so, and have the site restoration ready for fall of 2021. The other project is to complete the WKU Commons project. That building is to be open and operational for fall of 21. And then immediately following that, we're going to start to take down Garrett Conference Center. Currently, Garrett Conference Center has activities in it, including our nation-recognized forensic team that has to be relocated. So those domino effects, we have to wait until we get other things completed before everybody can move out. We also currently have food service in Garrett Conference Center. So that'll take place. And then we completed a hilltop study that looked at a lot of what I call pedestrian-friendly hilltop circulation. That was in our 2010 plan, master plan. It's that same desire from our professionals and from the university and the community is still to make our campus safer, make it more inviting, still celebrate the top of the hill. And you saw some of that today in the potential to take a segment of State Street up there that has always been a barrier, a lot of high traffic, but is one of the most highly crossed roadways and creates a barrier for our students to cross that safely. That's part of that study. It also, we have another spine that runs up Centennial Mall all the way up to the top of campus. And so when Garrett Conference Center comes down, it is a great opportunity to reroute some of the traffic, open up some barrier-free routes that get you safely from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. And all of those are what I would call some of the priorities that we're working on today. Dr. Gaboni?
To dovetail with what Brian has said, we also have been gently investing and renovating as we go. So two summers ago, if I'm remembering correctly, we did some work in Cherry Hall. This past summer into the fall, we did work in Academic Complex. We've made significant investments in things you might not see in the Fine Arts Center, Ivan Wilson Hall, but were necessary, including HVAC work, plumbing work. And so we continue to invest in those. If the state is able to create this resurgence fund, essentially a deferred maintenance fund, we're going to be able to match either 50 cents or a dollar to the dollar and get and essentially double or triple our money invested in those facilities. And I think even as much as if you remember, Cherry Hall was the thing that was most noticeable was the freshening of the paint. And it makes the experience in those buildings better. We have some significant investment to do in thinking about instruction and the way in which we take what we've learned from the pandemic and spread that across everything that we do. I think while we know that in-person learning is something that came out of this as being crucially important to our students, the other thing we've learned is that hybrid instruction is also important. And thinking about how do you use technology not to offer online courses, but to enhance and make stronger the in-person courses we teach, and what are the facility changes we need to do that. I will say that as much as I wish the state government would write a check for us to have a new business school building, we're going to have to do that in a creative way, because I don't think we're likely to that's not likely to happen in the next 5 to 7 years, given what I'm seeing. And so we're going to have to raise some dollars for that. We're going to have to work with our school of business to think about how they invest, and centrally to make that a doable, because it's a linchpin. If you look at the plan, it's a linchpin, not just for our students. Those of you who recall our entering class, the Gordon Ford College of Business is the fastest growing college on campus. a new facility will enable and enhance that recruitment and enrollment, and we want to make sure we provide that opportunity. Last thing, that's a placeholder building. It's not been designed. It doesn't look like that. We'll stick with that Georgian look feel. Just didn't want people thinking we're going to have a huge atrium building right there on the South Lawn.
Anyone else? Excellent presentation. If there are no other questions, thanks, Brian, and the team for that presentation. We've got three other items on our information list. I apologize, there's no attachments or video to go with those. It's just more or less an oral report. The first thing I want to bring to the board's attention is to give an update on our internal auditor search. For the benefit of our newer members, the internal auditor position is a direct line report to the board. It helps us fulfill our fiduciary responsibility for guidance and oversight of the financial responsibility and accountability of the university, and obviously dovetails in with our external auditors. Over the last several years, we have focused more so on enhancing and revamping our internal audit program with much success. And so with the creation of that vacancy in the position, the board felt that not as normal, but the board felt that we needed to be a little more participatory in the interview process. A search committee was formed. Christy Smith headed that group. They identified candidates. They did first round interviews. During the month of December, those first round candidates were narrowed to second round prospects. And during the first week of January, Jason McKinney as vice chair and finance and budget chair and myself participated alongside with the search committee group in conducting second round interviews. At the conclusion of those interviews, we collaborated as a group on scoring those prospective candidates. And as part of that, we suggested that our finalists be interviewed by President Caboni because of the necessity of the relationship, but also the fact that all this represents the WKU team. I understand that President Caboni will meet with a finalist this Monday. And so the process is closing and we're getting very close. We had some good candidates. And so hopefully within the very near future, we will have an internal auditor a candidate to present to the full board. I would just comment that it has taken us a while, and part of that has been due to the pandemic and the challenges that creates when you're dealing with folks and Zooming and whatnot. And please realize that none of the candidates, to our knowledge, have actually been on campus yet. Everything has been conducted by Zoom. With that being said, I don't know if Christy is still on the Zoom. She was. Yes, she is. Christy, do you have anything to add?
I don't have anything to add. Basically, exactly what you said. The search is moving along, and we're getting really close.
Dr. Caboni, anything to add?
Just my reiteration of the importance of this for objective looks at our expenditures and making sure that we're in good shape there, but also risk management. And I think that we have done outstanding work and have a tremendous platform on which to build. So I want to make sure I thank Jennifer Miller and the folks who came before. And also we have some opportunity ahead too. So I'm very excited about where we're going.
Regent McKinney, any comments?
No, I don't have anything.
So that's the update on our internal auditor. open the floor up for any other questions or comments by one of the regents. Hearing none, I think we'll now move to the next information item, which is an update from the ad hoc committee on presidential policies and procedures for the benefit of our newer board members. Over the last probably 18 months to 2 years now, we have had an ongoing process of looking at our bylaws and looking at some policies and procedures having to do with the authority of the president. An ad hoc committee was formed. Regent Brinkley chaired that committee. It was comprised of Vice Chair McKinney, Regent Henson, Senate Faculty Chair Julie Shadowin, and Staff Senate Chair Mike Loftus. David, did I get everyone on the committee?
Yes, sir. Prior to Mike Loftus, though, we did have a short stint with the former Staff Senate Chair Jennifer Miller. But yes, you're correct. Thank you.
Okay. So back on January 8th, this current January 8th, the ad hoc committee tendered a document of a delegation of authority policy. Sometime within the day or in the next few days, that policy will be forwarded out to each board member for your information and feedback. I'm going to refer the policy to the executive committee because I think in the sense of governance and using best practices of the board that we should share this document with the president for his comment and also share the document with our general counsel so that she can take a look at it from the standpoint of legal issues and whatnot. So that document will be shared, and then there will be a coordination between the executive committee and any feedback we get from president or the general counsel and any feedback that we get from board members as we proceed forward. I'm going to be optimistic and hope that we can present a final document for board approval at our March meeting and get this this task checkbox and out of our scope of items to do. Do I have any questions or comments on the report status of the ad hoc committee's authority policy? I have extended to David our appreciation as a board for the work of the committee and their efforts, conscientious efforts in doing this Herculean task. And I've also asked him to extend that appreciation to Mike Loftus and Julie Shadowin. We don't often get the chance to bump into them on campus, and especially in this new Zoom environment. But David and your committee, thank you very much. The last item is the presidential evaluation. One of the board's duties is to conduct an annual evaluation of the president. We have done so. We systematically, strategically conducted an evaluation. The board members were participants in that evaluation. Former board members were also asked to participate in the evaluation. As part of that, we were to share the results with the president and to have a discussion. I have met with the president on multiple occasions to talk about that. I would note, if anything, the scope of today's meeting and all of the reports and the excellent reports and the turnout on retention and recruitment and underrepresented minority participation, et cetera, is verification of what I would summarize as President Caboni receiving literally an outstanding evaluation for his efforts over the last year, and really since he arrived on campus and started in the position as our 10th president back on July 1, 2017. I have complimented him. I know each of you all have complimented him as well. I appreciate the feedback that I got from Regents to share with President Caboni. He is truly a visionary, and his leadership at our university during these last 3 years have been remarkable. When you look back and you look at the curveballs that were thrown at us almost immediately when he assumed the presidency, from budget cuts, pandemic, just so many things to mention that we've weathered and gone through. So I would like to take an opportunity to just highlight a couple of things for record purposes today. I would like to give President Caboni an opportunity to add or comment on what I've said or what I, and more importantly, did not say, and then, of course, turn to the Regents and to allow those that would like to participate in the commentary to do so. I told President Caboni that I shared with him that his evaluation with us is almost continuous because of his approach in communicating with the Regents almost on a daily basis of what's going on and sharing with us items of information and discussions and allowing us the opportunity to participate and have feedback and whatnot. Not only are we involved on our regularly scheduled board days, but we are participatory with him throughout the semester. And so this week we went into our spring semester academic year, and that brings new opportunities and challenges for us. As today's report outlines, we're in a very good place. And so I want to highlight just a couple of comments that have already been shared today but need to be reemphasized from a recruitment standpoint. In the fall of 2020, WKU saw the largest one-year increase in the size of its freshman class at any time during the past three decades, up 406 students from the fall of 2019. Those students also brought the highest high school GPA in WKU history. And that was shared with us, and obviously the impact, the budgetary impact, was noticed immediately. Turning to retention, the WKU 2019-2020 one-year retention rates are the highest they have ever been. In just 3 years, academic year 2017 through academic year 20, WKU's first to second year student retention increased 6.9 percentage points. The underrepresented minority retention jumped 15.2 percentage points, both representing the largest three-year increase in WKU history. Graduation. In 2020, WKU's six-year graduation rate rose to 55.1%, up from 50.7% in academic year 2017. This represents the highest six-year graduation rate ever at WKU. During the same time period, WKU achieved the highest URM and low-income six-year graduation rates in 8 years and awarded more than 3,000 bachelor degrees, more than the institution has awarded in any previous academic year. Access and opportunity. We have more than doubled the number of freshmen receiving scholarships compared to the fall of 2019. Since its inception in 2017, the WKU Opportunity Fund, a fundraising effort to support our students, has already grown to $48 million of its $50 million target, with 136 new endowed scholarship funds. In 2019, WKU was awarded the Educational Fundraising Award by the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. WKU achieved the second highest score, 27 out of 36, among Kentucky's public universities in the Council on Postsecondary Education latest report on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those are just some recent highlights of what this university has accomplished under the leadership of Dr. Cavone. We've shared those conversations with him, but more importantly, in his humble spirit, each time he turns and says, yes, but there's always room for improvement. And so with that attitude and approach, I think that we can check the box today that we have completed our annual evaluation of the president. Dr. Cavone, would you like to defend yourself for my butcher job of your accolades?
Chair Higdon and Regents, so that's always uncomfortable for me to hear because it's not about me. All of what you heard today is due to the work, tremendous work of our faculty and staff. I want to extend my appreciation to the entire university community, our alumni, our supporters, our donors, for everything they've done to enable the work and the success to occur that we've experienced in the past 3.5 years and that existed before I was here, continuing to elevate this institution. I want to thank Casey for her remarkable work on the Opportunity Fund and all of our development staff. Truly, we thought that was going to take longer than 3.5 years to, or 3 years to hit that $50 million goal, which was just outstanding. Regent Higdon, as you said, as much as I appreciate the laudatory comments, what's most important to me is how can we do better? Because we're an institution of constant improvement and continuous improvement. The data shows we have work to do. For us to hit our 80-60 goals, we got to work harder. We have to have more targeted investment. We all have to put our nose to the grindstone. So with that, I just want to say to the board, I appreciate the partnership that I've had since I've arrived and your support, the work that we've done together to enable the entire community to transform our efforts. And I look forward to hopefully many more years together with you.
Thank you, sir. Any regents that would comment or questions or expound on anything that we've talked about?
Well, you know, I'm always happy to jump in there, and I do think it's incumbent upon all of us as board members and all of the other people on this meeting to share the WKU story. We had an email sent out to us in the last day or so about that, but trying to keep all those numbers in our head are difficult, but the progress made in the last 3.5 years has been truly remarkable. And if you really look, and I'm glad Dr. Cavone mentioned the leadership we had before this, you know, the last 20, 25 years, Western has made unbelievable progress. We had great leadership under Dr. Ransdell for that period of time. And when Dr. Cavone came along, we needed a different kind of leadership. And he's provided that. And it's an exciting time to be on the board. I do want to, again, give a shout out to our performance during COVID. I think being healthy on the Hill is a apt phrase and to accomplish what we did the last semester, hopefully what we can repeat this semester and still allow those students to have a full experience is really important, and kudos to everyone on campus.
Thank you, Regent Bell. George?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, let me commend you and the team for the work that you all, who have the ultimate role of writing all this up and commenting, and I appreciate you taking the time to articulate the metrics that really you evaluate a president against, and the fact that Dr. Caboni's efforts have shown real impact and success for the university. It's been an honor for me to sit and watch this and realize how difficult it is in our role as regents, and then to feel sorry for Dr. Caboni in his role as president. You know what? Why don't we pick some of the worst jobs in America? And I'd say that president of a university would be right up there at the top. Now, you'd also pick it as probably the most rewarding job in America because of the people that you can touch. And now you throw in the pandemic, you throw in social unrest, you throw in all those other things, and let's just make it more difficult. But Dr. Caboni, you've led gracefully. You have helped us lead the organization by being transparent in the work that you've done and how you've gone about your work. I know being a university president is not a popularity contest, and that's difficult, but the fact is I think your success is a result of you focus on Western Kentucky University. And as long as you focus on Western Kentucky University and the role that it plays with students, then you always have an opportunity to defend whatever people like or don't like, because it's really ultimately about the students that come to us. And so I commend you for a great, great success that you've had in your tenure. I hope you stay a long, long, long on time. And you can already tell, based on the conversations we've had, that Western Kentucky University has a plan for a bright future. And the question is, what will we do as regents, as alumni, to make sure we support that plan being put in place for the continued success of the university? So thank you and congratulations.
If I could step in for a moment and say, as someone who teaches and spends a lot of time with others on leadership and strategic management, leading in a collegiate environment has got to be one of the biggest challenges that there could ever be, given the diversity of thought and opinion and the opinion that we all have as faculty, that we're no more than most about everything. What I have, as some of you know, I've done a deep dive into behind-the-scenes strategic plan and how everything is coming together over the last few weeks to try to get a really good sense of what's going on. And what I'm most impressed with is that there is a plan, and that there's something that I see as a long-term plan, five to 10 years from now, that will come together and present a bright future for us. And I'm someone that is a strong believer in the power of education, what the doors that it can open. And that plan is fundamental to doing that for our region and for others. And so what I would stress, especially, again, you know, what Regent Nichols said, is I don't know if you read through the literature and look to see right now across the country, being a president of a university is not a job that a lot of people want. It is so many challenges. So how can we as a board help our president communicate the opportunities that are here and communicate that strategy? That's what I would like to know as we move forward.
Well, thanks everyone for the comments. Thanks for the feedback that you have supplied me and other members of the executive committee. We'll roll up our sleeves, President Caboni, and participate with you in your vision. I will give the board our next task, and we spoke briefly about it a few weeks ago. We now transition into the duty and the need to discuss with the president his next contract. And so that documentation will be coming out to the board over the next few days. I invite you to call me or call any member of the executive committee with questions. The executive committee will spearhead the work of getting a contract in place to present for discussion to the full board. And I'm going to be optimistic, and without hopefully jinxing the process, I would like for us to have this work completed by the March board meeting as well. So our work's cut out for us. So expect the documentation over the next few days on that matter. It will consist of peer numbers from other similar universities. That's all I have on today's agenda. Anybody have any other items? President Caboni, do you have any words of wisdom?
Here, Higdon, before we close today, I'd be remiss if I didn't spend just a moment reflecting upon an announcement that was made on Tuesday. Our acting provost, Cheryl Stevens, announced to campus that she will be stepping down as acting provost at the end of June and entering retirement at the end of the spring semester next December. And we're going to have many opportunities to celebrate Cheryl and what she's done here at WKU in her career. But I wanted to take the opportunity to call out her service to this institution, both as dean of Ogden College of Science and Engineering and the work that she did to help transform that college, and her work in the provost's office, stepping in what was an incredibly difficult time of transition and tumult for the university. Her calm demeanor, the work that she's done to help, again, accelerate our change during the past 2 years will be missed. And for me personally, her partnership, her good counsel, her willingness to challenge me, and also her ability to implement and help her team implement has been outstanding. So, Cheryl, congratulations on your decision, and thank you so much for all you continue to do for us. You will be working tirelessly through June, but I did want to take a moment to say thank you, and we'll have other opportunities to celebrate her going forward.
As chair of the academic committee, let me reinforce that. And Cheryl and I have had a discussion. She was instrumental throughout the strategic planning process. And as President Caboni said, stepped into the provost office and has done a great job, has respect across the entire campus. And she tells me she's really excited about being able to spend more time in her garden and with her grandchildren, and maybe read some a light novel. So.
Thank you both. I have had a wonderful experience here at WKU, but this does, you know, I started with an assistant professorship, my first, at Xavier University of Louisiana in 1982. I am pushing 40 years in higher ed, and it's been a wonderful career, and it has been a wonderful experience, rewarding, hard work, but I've thoroughly enjoyed my time at WKU, and I just am just so ready to take this next step and enjoy the time I have left. So I guess you say, I've heard people say, you have fewer days ahead of you than behind, and that's certainly true for me, and I want to enjoy them, and it's not by going to work every day. And it was not a hard decision to make, but I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it. And I'm going to enjoy celebrating on over the next few months. I told President Caboni I want a party, but I know we have to wait. So thank you.
Thank you, Provost Stevens, for all you've done for our university. Anyone else? Anything else? Well, this brings us to the end of our committee meeting for January 22nd. I hope everyone stays safe and well and gets your vaccination, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that we can be on campus for our next board meeting. We're going to try real hard, right, Julia? Okay. So with that being said, we'll adjourn for today. Be safe. Thank you for all you do.